Welcome to the Battle Ready Sermon Podcast with Captain Rob Westwood Payne.
Now, this sermon this morning comes with a bit of a health warning. Friends, strap yourselves in because I've had a long time to think about this one. It's been a few weeks since I preached, so I've had longer to think than normal around this. So hopefully we'll be finished by about 5 to 6, and then divisional youth gathering, if you want to stay for that, you'll be welcome. No, it's not any longer, but it is something that I've thought about for the last few weeks. And it's amazing how God works things together for our good. I could have preached this sermon any time. I could have put it in the sermon calendar to preach at any time, but God wanted me to preach it today. On Founders Day, having been to the Brengel Institute and lots of the things that we talked about and discussed at the Brengel Institute come into the topic that we're thinking about this morning, and the fact that I've had a few weeks to think about it, which has really helped me to distill what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us this morning. So, strap yourselves in. First of all, we're going to sort out the men from the boys and the women from the girls. Who remembers this person? Now, it might not sort the men from the boys and the women from the girls, because they repeat this on UK Gold. So even if you didn't see it in the 70s and you caught up with it in the 80s like me, or later on UK Gold, then you may know who this is. This is Norman Stanley Fletcher, played by the late, great Ronnie Barker, from a TV series called Porridge, which ran from 1974 to 1977, which is why I didn't see it the first time round. But it has been repeated several times. And right at the beginning of each episode, Norman Stanley Fletcher is described by the judge who is sentencing him to prison as an habitual criminal. Prison was just like kind of part of his way of life. And actually, if you kind of dig deep into the series, you kind of recognize that Norman Fletcher is happier in prison than he would be in freedom. And in fact, there was a follow-up series called Going Straight. I remembered it this morning, then I couldn't remember it. Going Straight, where we see the kind of comedy, the laughter that comes from Norman Fletcher trying to go straight and trying to stay free. He actually preferred prison life to life on the outside. Now, that's different to most people, I think. Most people don't want to be in prison. Anybody want to be in prison today? No show of hands. No, we'd all rather stay out of prison. And those who are in prison usually want to get out. Those who are outside of prison, working at their jobs, paying their bills, eating food, having fun, time with their family, they don't want to go to prison. They love life and they want to live life in freedom. And yet, there is something about the human condition that means many people feel trapped. Even those who don't understand the concept of sin and the devil working in our lives will often feel that there's some particular force. They wouldn't be able to name it. They wouldn't be even necessarily be able to describe it. But there is some force somewhere that encourages them to live life in a particular way. To overindulge. However you might do that. To overindulge in food. To overindulge in alcohol. To indulge your sexual appetites. To accumulate more and more stuff. To wear particular clothes, to go on particular holidays. Some people sense that there is a force that encourages them to carry on doing bad habits, even though they'd really like to stop those bad habits. And they realize that they're bad habits that are impacting their life in the wrong way. Now, Paul would say that they were enslaved to sin. That's the force that encourages them. They're enslaved to sin. Now, before we get too carried away with the fact that this is a problem that affects other people. I know many Christians who are entrapped by sin as well. There are times in my life when I feel trapped, entrapped by sin. Followers of Jesus are sadly just as likely to have patterns of sinful behavior that they just don't seem to be able to get out of. They're trapped. And in a way, the Christian life becomes even more of a prison life. Actually, if you're not aware of the Christian faith and you just live life as you like and you don't bother about what anybody else thinks, then you may feel that there's a certain amount of freedom in that. But actually, if you know about the Christian faith, if you know about the values that Jesus commands us to live by, then it can become even more of a prison because we realize just how far away we can be from those values sometimes. And Christian life becomes the prison life. So what's the solution? What's the key to unlocking this prison life that we might find ourselves in? It's union with Jesus Christ. It's union with Jesus Christ so that God's power and his righteousness has the hold over our life rather than sin. Right in the middle of our passage this morning, Paul says this, Romans chapter 6, verse 18, from the Passion Translation. And now you celebrate your freedom from your former master, sin. You've left its bondage. And now God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as loving servants. Sin no longer holds power over us because God's power holds power over us. Amen? Anybody still awake back there? It's God's grace that gives us the freedom and the power to choose to be slaves to God rather than slaves to sin. And Paul says it's a black and white decision. You are either a slave to sin or you're a slave to God. You can't be in between. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to God. Now, that's not to say that when we give ourselves over to God and we become slaves of God and we allow God's power and righteousness to hold over our lives, that we will be perfect. Is anybody here this morning perfect? Mike says he is. Excellent. Good. There's one. Although I think he may have just lied, so that makes him less perfect than he thought he was. None of us are perfect, and this is not a call to perfection. It's not a call to say, if we just give ourselves over to God, then we will always do the right thing by him. We will always obey his commands. Why? Because we still have the freedom as human beings, as followers of Jesus, to decide to disobey God. He doesn't take away that freedom from us because then we wouldn't have freedom of choice. We are still free to act in disobedience of God. But God has the power to ensure that we don't do that if we rely on his power. Sin no longer controls us. It's righteousness that now has its power over us. When we are slaves to God, we more easily recognize that sin is enslaving us. And so we steer clear of it as much as we can in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know one of the most, in a way, it's one of the most depressing things about being a Christian, but actually it's also one of the most freeing things, is that the more you grow as a Christian, the more you realize how much sin there is in your life. Have you noticed that? When you're a new Christian, you perhaps don't notice half the stuff. But as God convicts you of more and more things in your life that he doesn't yet have control over, that is not yet slave to God, you begin to realize how much more there is to give him and how much more there is to put right. But as we do so, that's when we find freedom. This is not freedom to do what we want. You can almost hear Paul chuckling, can't you, in verse 15. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Of course that's not what it means. God's grace is a gift, but we have to accept that gift. And then we have to live in the power of that gift. And Paul in this passage recognizes that as human beings, it helps us to have a framework that helps us avoid falling back into being slaves to sin. And that we need a framework to live by. And that's what he sets out in these verses, a framework for kind of, you know, checking your life against. Am I being a slave to sin or am I being a slave to God? Now, this is not just following a set of rules. Here's some do's and here's some don'ts. Because it requires a change of heart. If we're going to go from being slaves to sin to slaves to God, it involves a change of heart in the middle. Transformation from within, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. It's about following Christ's teaching. That's the framework that we live by. We make that the standard for our belief and our behavior. And so Paul encourages us, each one of us this morning, to find that freedom, to overcome temptation, to overcome the besetting sin in our lives by staying within this framework of Christ's teaching, to walk the walk rather than simply talk the talk, to actually live as Christ wants us to live for him and to be dead to sin. The bad news is it doesn't happen automatically. We can't just say, oh yeah, that's what we're going to do, and it just happens. It's a choice we make every day, moment by moment. Am I going to be a slave to sin? Or am I going to be a slave to God? Is there anything that can help us make that choice? Well, I think in the context of the Salvation Army, we have a great resource that helps us to make that right choice each time, whether we're going to be a slave to sin or a slave to God. Do you know what it is? It's this. It's our soldiers' covenant. It's our articles of war. This soldier's covenant can help us each day decide whether we're going to be a slave to sin or a slave to God. In every decision that we make, and we have to make hundreds of decisions, if not thousands of decisions, every day. And the main thing behind all of those decisions is, am I going to be a slave to sin or am I going to be a slave to God? And this is our Salvation Army framework for deciding how we're going to make that choice. Now, you might find it strange for me to say that if you want to find freedom, then sign up to the Soldiers' Covenant. Because many people, including salvationists, don't think this is freedom at all. If I ask you what the first thing is in this Soldiers' Covenant that comes into your head when you think about it, I wonder what that would be. What's the first thing that jumps into your head when you hear about the Soldiers' Covenant and you think, now, what's in that Soldiers' Covenant? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Did anybody think of this? I will abstain from alcoholic drink, tobacco, the non-medical use of addictive drugs, gambling, pornography, the occult, and all else that could enslave the body or spirit. Anybody think of that first? You can put your hands up if you like. No? Yes? No? That's what many people have reduced the Soldiers' Covenant to. That's what they remember about the Soldiers' Covenant. And the problem with that is that it declares that our attitude to the Soldiers' Covenant is that it's simply a list of do's and don'ts. I will do this and I won't do that. And without even the explanations into why we do those things and why we don't do those things. But the soldier's covenant is about so much more than that clause, although that clause can help us as well. And we'll come back to that. Here's the first one. If you want a framework for freedom in your life, here's the first clause. I will be responsive to the Holy Spirit's work and obedient to his leading in my life. Growing in grace through worship, prayer, service, and the reading of the Bible. I will make the values of the kingdom of God and not the values of the world the standard for my life. There it is, right there in black and white, right at the beginning of the clauses of the lifestyle clauses, if you like, of the soldier's covenant. I will decide in each and every moment to make God's standards the values for my life. I will be a slave to God and not the world's standards. I will not be a slave to sin. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through being responsive to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. How will I allow that to happen? I'll take part in those things. I'll take part in worship. I'll pray. I'll serve. I'll read the Bible. That's how the Holy Spirit is going to be able to grow in my life, grow his grace in my life, and help me to be obedient to his leading, to say no to being a slave to sin, and yes to being a slave to God. The next one says, I will uphold Christian integrity in every area of my life, allowing nothing in thought, word, or deed that is unworthy, unclean, untrue, and profane, dishonest, or immoral. In each and every moment, in each and every choice that I make today, I will uphold Christian integrity. That's what brings us freedom, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if we're living in Christian integrity, then we can't be slaves to sin. And it's every area of my life. If we're upholding Christian integrity in our lives, then we're free from trying to have to remember all the lies that we've told and whether we're still being consistent or not. We can be free from shame. We can be free from guilt. We can be free from knowing that we failed God and others simply by making that choice moment by moment to uphold Christian integrity in every area of my life. Next paragraph says, I will maintain Christian ideals in all my relationships with others, my family and neighbours, my colleagues and fellow Salvationists, those to whom and for whom I am responsible, and the wider community. Does that sound like freedom to you? Anybody thinks that sounds like prison? Put your hands up. No, it's freedom. If we maintain Christian ideals in all our relationships, then it frees us from the prisons of hate. It frees us from the prison of negativity. It frees us from the prison of impatience. It frees us from the prison of nastiness. It frees us from the prison of faithlessness. It frees us from the prison of viciousness. And it gives us the freedom to truly love others. To maintain Christian ideals in all my relationships frees us to truly love others in the power of the Holy Spirit. To find joy in our relationships. Do you feel a bit more free when you smile? Some of you need to find that freedom this morning. We can find joy in our relationships. We can live in peace instead of in constant conflict. There's nothing worse than feeling locked down in conflict all the time. It frees us to become more patient and more kind, to treat each other gently and to retain self-control in our relationships. And you know what? That means freedom, not just for us, but it means freedom for those around us as well. If we make that choice moment by moment to maintain Christian ideals in all my relationships. You see how this is a framework for deciding whether I'm going to be a slave to sin or a slave to God. Next one says, I will uphold the sanctity of marriage and of family life. I will be a faithful steward of my time and gifts, my money and possessions, my body, my mind and my spirit, knowing that I am accountable to God. Upholding the sanctity of marriage and family life would mean that those in our households could live in freedom from fear and worry. That's what it means to uphold the sanctity of marriage and family life. Being a faithful steward, making a choice, moment by moment, day by day, with all that we have, all that God has given us, not to be slaves to sin, not to follow the world's values, but to follow God's standards, means that our time, our gifts, our skills, our abilities, our money, our possessions, everything that God has given to us, they don't trap us, but they free us to serve Him. It's about freedom, not about prison life. Even this next clause, which has become difficult for some people, brings freedom rather than imprisonment. I will abstain from alcoholic drink, tobacco and non-medical use of addictive drugs, gambling, pornography, the occult, and all else that could enslave the body or spirit. Do you know the best way of not becoming addicted to alcohol? It's never to touch it. You can't become addicted to it if you've never touched it. Do you know the best way not to become addicted to tobacco? It's to never have smoked it. How can you become addicted to it if you've never touched it? Do you know how to stay away from the prison life that drug addicts live in? It's to have never taken drugs that are not medically given to you. How do you avoid falling into the trap of wasting your money on gambling? It's by never gambling. Do you know how to avoid what has become the utterly mendacious prison of pornography in these days? It's to never have looked at it. And you know, if you look closely enough, whoever wrote these clauses, probably 150 years or so ago, was very clever. Because they put what you might call the lawyer's clause in at the end that says, or anything else. All else that could enslave body or spirit. You know, you could use those words as a framework for avoiding anything that might enslave you, that might trap you into the sin of being a slave to sin. Do you fall into the sin of eating too much food? I do. Maybe I need to read these words. Perhaps I feel enslaved to it. Perhaps I have to avoid some food at least, not all food. This clause could help me. Do you ever start to feel that you're enslaved by your use of social media? Do you find yourself with your phone or your tablet in your hand and you didn't even realize that you were scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or whatever that you follow? I've just wasted 2 hours doing that. Maybe I'm enslaved to it. Well, you know what? This framework says perhaps I should abstain from it. Then I can be free. Free from being a slave to sin and instead to be a slave to God. You can do it for anything. Do I watch too much television? Do I sometimes think, gosh, I've watched 6 hours of television today. I haven't done anything. Maybe I should abstain from it. Or new gadgets, or shoes, or handbags. or anything that you can think of that might become enslaving, that you have to have. Here's a framework to ensure that we're slaves to God, not slaves to sin. I will be faithful to the purposes for which God raised up the Salvation Army, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, endeavouring to win others to him, and in his name caring for the needy and the disadvantaged. That clause can keep us free from the prison of being self-centred and self-obsessed. That's what the world will tell us to be. Be self-centred, be self-obsessed. This framework says, no, be slaves to God. Focus on others. Love them. Serve them. Give them the good news. Finally, I will be actively involved as I am able in the life, work, worship and witness of the Corps, giving as large a proportion of my income as possible to support its ministries and the worldwide work of the Salvation Army. Well, there's a couple of things, isn't there? Now, we have perhaps sometimes gone the other way so that our work and our service for the Salvation Army becomes a prison itself. We have to get the right balance. But hey, if we're spending more time at the army and more time serving God, we can't be serving and being a slave to sin instead. We're going to be slaves to God. And who thought tithing was in the soldiers' covenant? Anybody? It's not. Tithing is about giving 10% of your income. William Booth, he said, maybe you should start with 10% and then go to 20% and 30% and 40% and 50%. See how far you can go. See how much God will bless you. That ended up in the soldiers' covenant. Giving a larger proportion of my income as possible. Well, if we're spending it on giving to God, then again, we're not spending it on being slaves to sin. We're not spending it on the things that might entrap us. The soldier's covenant can help us. It's not a prison. It's a life of freedom. It's a life of freedom. We get the opportunity to commit to it today. Maybe you've never committed to the soldier's covenant. I would love to have a conversation with you afterwards. So would Eileen. Where are you, Eileen? Wave at me, Eileen. Yeah, Eileen or me would love to have a conversation with you if you've never committed to the soldier's covenant and you feel God calling you to do that today. For many of us, we have signed a soldier's covenant. Some of us a long time ago. 1988. For those who are interested, 12th of June. But maybe we need to recommit to it today. Maybe we realise, actually, it's a long time since we looked at those words. And yeah, I can see how they can help me to make choices every day about whether to be a slave to God or a slave to sin. Will you make that commitment to freedom today? This is how I'm going to live my life. Maybe God's calling you back to the old wells. Asking you to recommit your life as a soldier today. Maybe God is just prompting you this morning, hey, you know what? Sometimes you're a slave to sin more than you are a slave to God. I'm calling you back to holiness. Of body, mind, soul, and spirit. If God is speaking to you this morning, then we have to obey, don't we? We have to make that choice not to be slaves to sin, but to be a slave to God. Now listen to a song written by Chick Yule and John Martin. And we get the opportunity to pray this morning. Lord, I respond to your claims on my life with obedience to all that you will ask, following you in the way of the cross. This will be my task. Making that decision moment by moment, I'm going to be a slave to God, not a slave to sin. following you in the way of the cross, making the way of the cross my framework for life. This will be my task. If God is asking you to respond this morning, then don't delay. Respond. You can come and use the place of prayer. You can respond in your seat, but please do respond if God is speaking to you as we listen to these words.
If you would like to subscribe to Battle Ready Sermons wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, or if you'd like to receive them direct to your inbox, head to www.equippinghispeople.com/sermons and follow the instructions.